I would like to present to you some points around this liberation theology. Many of these, the big themes of liberation theology are common, with different liberation theologies. But normally, for me, the accent will be in the Latin American aspects. I am very conscious, you know, about my poor English, but by experience I can say your difficulties to follow me will be above all in the beginning, because my mistake is always the same. You can follow after better than in the beginning, I suppose. Well, liberation theology is an effort to take seriously, for real, poverty. I need to precise the term later, but to explain for what reason poverty is a challenge to Christian faith and to the announcement of the gospel. It seems simple, but until now we have some difficulties with some academic milieus speaking about this point, because for many people poverty is a social issue, it's not exactly a challenge to face. And it is a starting point for us. It is really a defy, is a challenge to our manner to be believers, to be Christians, and to our ways to announce the gospel. It is the beginning of this theology, trying to see this and to try to explain and to have the consequences of this. Maybe I can give one illustration of this. Modernity, we are very accustomed to this in theology today, modernity is a challenge to faith, a challenge to the announcement of the gospel. I understand by modernity the big points of modern spirit, the individual as a starting point, modern freedoms, critical reason. These 3 points are central in what we call modern mentality or modern spirit. It's a big challenge to face, because the classic theology, traditional theology, was elaborated in other context, in other framework. And we have today what we call modern theology, different trends inside, but trying to take into account this challenge from critical reason, freedom, and individual in the beginning of society, in the beginning of our economy, or our knowledge also. I suppose it is clear for you, but we know the great names of modern theology. We can discuss one point or another, but they are big names. I am speaking about Bultmann, Barth, Tillich, Rahner, Congar in the Catholic milieu, or more recently, Jürgen Moltmann, Johann Metz, David Tracy in this country, and many others. All are modern theologians. They are trying to answer these questions coming from modern spirit. Modernity as a challenge to faith now is accepted in the theological milieu. In the beginning, you know, because we can say It's difficult to fix a date, but the beginning of this modern mentality is 2 centuries before, a little more. Well, in the beginning was not easy. For the classic theologians, it was not exactly a challenge to face. It was an error. And little by little, they have understood a challenge is not only a reaction against faith, but against some manners to present faith. And Mark has said this, speaking about this person, that in these days, I think it is happens. It happens very often, and today it is accepted. Well, and it is one comparison, and you know more or less with many limitations. But we can say this also from poverty. Poverty is a challenge to face. And because it's a non-human condition, non-human situation, challenge to face is difficult in some milieus, less and less, we must recognize, but to accept this. And we have, in the context of liberation theology, one sentence good to understand the meaning of this effort to take for real, seriously, this challenge. We have called this preferential option for the poor. The sentence is new, the reality is very old. The Bible is very clear, it's not an invention. The sentence is new, but it's one manner to say, it happens very often in theology or in philosophy, a new word to say, to speak about old subjects, old themes. And I would like to present this preferential option for the poor, because I think, with some friends during the lunch today, I have said preferential option for the poor is the 90% of liberation theology. If we speak about liberation theology, the central point is the preferential option for the poor. Let me to present this, the meaning of this sentence in a very simple way, taking word by word. I would like to begin with poor poverty. I have said quickly, poverty is a non-human condition. I would like to be more precise in this moment, because I think we have today a new perception about poverty and the notion of the poor. In this moment I am speaking sociologically or economically or anthropologically. We have another notion or new perception of poverty. I would like to to deal with some points in this way, as new perception. The first one, very important, is this. For a long time, poverty was considered a destiny, a fact, almost a fate. People were born in rich, other people were born in poor. Well, it's a fact. And quickly, we have had some theological reflections affirming, because it's a fact, the will of God is behind. The will of God is to have rich and poor. And the obligations, the duties of the rich person are different to the duties of the poor. The rich person must help the poor, the good Christians, and the poor to be humble and to accept this help. This was very, very rooted in humanity, not only the Christian milieu, but very rooted also in Christian churches in general. It has changed slowly, but now we are very conscious. It's not so new. Some decades, in some cases, almost a century, it has changed, but not in the Christian mentality. Even today, many persons in the Christian milieu, they say, well, but it is a fact. It is, and now we understand it's not a destiny, it's a condition. It's not a misfortune, it's an injustice. It's not just this. Because now we are conscious about the human causes of this condition of poverty. It's a result of our hands. We have made poverty in the world. When I say we, it's human persons. And if we have made this, we can change this condition. Because again, it's not a fate. And this only, this point is very important because in one consequence, many consequences, but at least one in this moment is this. Today, to be in solidarity with the poor is not only, please, I say not only because it is still good to help the poor, but to go against the causes of poverty. To be in solidarity with the poor is this, has these two aspects. It's twofold. Is to help, probably, directly, immediately, persons, the poor persons, but also to go against the causes, the reasons, the structures, the mental categories, as causes of poverty. When we say this, quickly we have some difficulties. Because if you speak about causes of poverty, you are speaking about responsibilities. And responsibilities, and normally we have some problems. But it's a question of to be honest. Poverty is the result of our hands. I am not speaking each person because we have can be very, very different. But it is a human question. Well, this is a very important point in the new perception. We have another aspect of the new perception, relatively new, is this. Poverty is a very complex reality, very complex, complex fact. Normally, we think quickly when we say poor poverty, we think to economic dimension of poverty. Again, it is true, but it's not enough. Poverty is not only and is cannot be reduced to the economic level. We have other aspects when we speak about poverty. And liberation theology, from the very beginning, we were very conscious about this complexity, and we used to call the poor insignificant person or non-person because it is the condition of the poor. And people could be insignificant for several reasons, economic reasons, but for gender reasons also, for racial reasons, for cultural reasons. And these dimensions, racial, gender, culture, are aspects of poverty. In a very interesting manner, you know, today, this is really very recent, some years only, we have in the United Nations, you know this I am sure very well. We have the reports of the PNUD, the Program of Human Development of United Nations. Under the influence of a great economist today, Amartya Sen from India, in these reports in last years, they are speaking about the multidimensionality of poverty. That is to say, poverty is not only economic issue. Well, I am very happy, really, because the economist, the tendency of the economist people is to speak about poverty as economic question. Well, this complexity or multidimensionality is another fact, and it's very biblical. If we take the notion of poverty in the Bible, it's not only economic. In the Bible we have in the First Testament, in the Second Testament, reference to poverty, to the poor, to neglected persons, despised persons, for several reasons, not only economically. Zacchaeus is a case in the Gospel. He was a rich man, but despised by his people. In some way was poor, but not economically. Well, but it's only one example. We have many causes of poverty, complexity. Another fact, less important for our subject, but it is good to indicate this at least, is this fact. Today we are conscious about the universality of this condition of poverty. I try to say this. In the past, some centuries before, people were conscious about the existence and the presence of the poor besides them in their village or in their area or region, because the communication was not so easy as today. But today, we have one global idea. Poverty is a global question, present everywhere in the world. And we cannot say, I have heard this sometimes from people living in small, rich countries, Switzerland, for example, they say, yeah, but in my country we have no poor. Well, but your country is not the planet. In the planet, they are many poor. For a Christian, we're going to say, the frontier, no. Beyond this frontier is not my question, but it's not human, it's non-Christian. And I think this universality is very important. The consciousness of this universality is very important, because we have there also, normally, because we have this communication today, very, very easy, is another fact in the manner of to understand poor poverty. And at the same time, we are clearer about the gap between rich and poor nations, and rich persons and poor persons. A growing gap. Again, the reports of the PNUD are very clear about this question, or the three volumes of the World Bank about Voices of the Poor, excellent books. This gap is more and more deep, is deeper, more and more. And I think it is important also for this consciousness. Well, this is for poverty. And when we say preferential option for the poor, we are speaking, it's obvious, on the poor, the real poor. And we are not speaking about the option for the spiritual poor. A spiritual poor in the Bible is a poverty in the Bible is holiness, is to be a saint. The spiritual poor is a saint, is the model for a believer, for a Christian. This is a spiritual poor. In this case, we are speaking about the option for the real poor. Sometimes in the Christian milieu, we call this material poor. If you want, I don't like very much because it's not so biblical, but we can say material poor. Preferential option for the poor is not preferential option for the spiritual poor. You know, to do the option for the spiritual poor is so easy. They are so few. And really, so it's very easy. It's the holy persons. Well, to do the option for the holy persons is not a great effort. And is real poor, material poor. In the sentence, poor poverty is not ambiguous. It's clear. It's this kind of poverty. Second word, preferential. Preferential or the synonymous of preference, priority or so. Preferential, the word itself is clear. Preference is to say, this is first for me. And if we say first, it's because we are thinking to second and third and fourth, because otherwise we are not speaking about first. And preferences, this kind of persons, the real poor, are first. That is to say, preference is in relation who is a very important point present in the biblical message, is universality of the love of God. God loves any person, no one is excluded of the love of God, poor, rich, white, black, anyone. And it is very important because we cannot forget this universality. If we believe in this God, loving any person, we must try to love any person. If, for example, someone says, I understand well the commitment to the poor. For me, only the poor are relevant. It is non-Christian, this. To say this is non-Christian. Only the poor relevant is non-Christian. Any person must be relevant for us. Any. Even what is called in the gospel enemies, even them. Preference is in relation and tension also with universality. The love of God is universal, but preferential for the least, for the weakest, for the poorest. It's preferential, and the only one way to understand preference is to keep in mind the universality of the love of God. And it was my first point for the term preference. I have another. Sometimes people, when speaking, it has happened to me several times, outside of my country, even my continent, but people told me, speaking about these questions, poverty, people told me, I understand you very well. You are so strong in order to speak about poverty because you are Latin American. I say always the same. Please, my friend, don't understand me so quickly. Because it is not my main reason. My main to be Latin America, maybe, not always, it's helpful to understand this. But my main reason is because I am Christian. And this question is good for any Christian, Latin American, African, Asian, European, North American. It's not because I am Latin American. And many people in Latin America don't understand this question. The poor are the first. Many people there. you know. And what the main reason, what is the reason for this preference, third point in preference? People say sometimes, yes, one reason is your social analysis. Well, it's helpful, but it's not the ultimate reason. Or the human compassion is a good reason also, but not the ultimate. The ultimate is reason for a believer, concretely for a Christian, is because we believe in the God of Jesus Christ. To say this in other words, the option for the poor, the preferential option for the poor, is a theocentric option. The core, the heart of this option is the gratuitous love of God. Gratuitous love, because the poor must be loved not necessarily because they are the best persons. It is very romantic in the pejorative sense of the word, because the word has a very, very legitimate sense also. But it's very idealistic to say the poor are so good, so generous. When I am hearing these affirmations coming from a person working who is the poor, I say to you, always, this person is working who is the poor for 2 months, but no more, because it's not true. The poor are human persons. Many of them are very generous and good. Many of them are very bad persons, as any human person. You know, the reason this idealization of the poor is, I think, is a tendency of the persons. Persons committed to the poor try to idealize the poor. It is true, they are discovering many values among poor persons, and they are surprised. It is true. But if we were working who is the poor in any place in the world for a long time, we are conscious about the difficulty. The reason is not because the poor deserves morally or for religious reasons the option, but because they are living in a non-human condition, contrary, the opposite of to the will of God. The will of God is life. And it is my point after, but I think it is very important to avoid this idealization of the poor. Is the gratuitous love means what last evening I was recalling this very well-known affirmation of John, God loved us first. Not because we are good, but because we are the children of God. For this is the reason. You know, us in the daily life of families, for what reason what the parents, one mother, for example, is loving her children? Because they are the best. Not always. Many of them, I think in this, but the neighbors know very well it is not true. And but the reason is because they are her children. For this is the reason, the main reason. If the children are good persons, better. Certainly is better, but it's not the main reason. The main reason to be committed to the poor is not exactly because the poor are so good, but because they are children of God. It is the reason. And for the reason they are the first, they must be the first in our commitment and in our solidarity. But this is preferential in relation with universality and centered in the gratuitous love of God. After that, we can present other experiences, because it is true, among poor persons, we have sometimes an incredible generosity. It is true. I try to avoid the idea all poor, because they are poor, they are good persons. I try, because it is not true. And I was working my whole life in the poor milieu, I can say from my experiences, many, many things, but they deserve this option because they are living in a very inhuman, non-human condition. Well, the third word is option. Maybe is the weakest word in the sentence. Above all, according to many of my friends, in English, because in Spanish is very, very strong. Opción is very strong. Well, option recalls optional or so, maybe, but we can explain what is the meaning of the option. First of all, we must say this. The option is not only, again, the question of the non-poor persons, because the poor themselves must do the option for the poor. Many poor have not made this option for the poor. It happens also. The option is a requirement for any person, for the poor themselves. Often persons of middle class, I think, I am not poor. I must do the option for the poor. Yeah, but not only you. The poor themselves also. I was working who is poor, not doing the option for the poor. I know this very well. And another point about option is this. Option for the poor means to be in solidarity with persons suffering poverty. Please, by poverty, I understand this complexity. It's not only economic questions. Well, solidarity with them, with the poor, and against poverty. The other side of the option for the poor is to be against poverty. That is to say, against this non-human condition. Poverty means also, in ultimate analysis, poverty means death. Physical death through hunger, through absence of medical care, people dying as today in Africa, for example, in my continent also, but in Africa, especially today, through sickness, overcome by the medical means today. Well, cultural death also. Anthropologist people like to say, culture is life. Well, when we despise persons because they belong to a culture, we are against life. In this case, it's not physical life, sometimes again, but it is death, cultural death. It is the meaning of poverty. Poverty is certainly a social issue, social concern, it is true. But if we have the courage to go beyond this, we must understand poverty is this. Some missionaries in 16th century in Latin America said this. The Indians are dying before their time. Unjust and early death. Well, unfortunately, it is still true. The poor are dying before their time. And poverty, and if poverty in the ultimate analysis means death, it is a challenge to theology. Because the will of God is a will of life. And you see this sentence, preferential option for the poor, is dealing with real poor, is speaking the meaning, the center, theologically speaking, of the ocean's preference, because it's the gratuitous love of God. The gratuitousness of the love of God is by far the most important point in the biblical message. Outside of this, we cannot understand the biblical message. It is present in the whole Bible, but in some books more clearly, Job, Paul, in the history of the church, St. Augustine, Martin Luther, this idea of gratuitousness is central to understand the preferential. And option is again to be against poverty as this non-human condition, and because we are loving, we try to love poor gratuitously. I would like to finish this with a conclusion, not long conclusion, but not two words, a little more, about this two questions. One is this. It seems to me theology, any theology, I think, is one hermeneutic of hope. The task of a theology, this reflection on the Christian, the biblical message, is to explain the reasons for hoping, for hope. And it is the task of a theology. It's not easy. If we start from the suffering of persons, unjust suffering above all, it's not easy to find the reasons of hope. But it's the task of theology. Desmond Tutu, you know very well this name, has written many years ago, now 30 years, I think, or a little more, maybe. Any liberation theology is trying to explain for what reason the innocent people are suffering. To explain is too much to say. We try, because it's not easy. But it's one hermeneutic of hope. And it means the theology has, in the history of the church, of the Christianity, different moments. Theology today, liberation theology or other theology, must try to give to Christians the reasons of hope. Today, for example, because you know today you have, it's only one illustration, but we are accustomed today about this. Some people are speaking about this question. We are living in the new moment in history, absolutely new, post-industrial, post-capitalist, post-socialist, post-colonialist. People today love to be post. anything is new now, new. What is hope in this moment? It's so new. I am not certainly refusing new aspects today. It is clear. But hope has at the same time roots in history, in tradition. I have a little group this morning recalled this sentence. I love this very much, coming from Saint Augustine. Memory is the present of the past. It's the present, because it's today, but rooted in the past. It is memory in the Bible. He was speaking about memory in the Bible. I think to elaborate a hermeneutic of hope is trying to, is means to try give today the reasons of hope. It is the idea of Desmond Tutu. It's coming from suffering, but trying to give some reasons to hope. Again, it's not easy. It is not easy, but it is important. I think the preferential option for the poor is a manner to say to the poor, the least in this world, to say to them, God loves you. To do this option is through Christians, through the disciples of Christ, to say to the poor, God loves you. And it is to give some reasons of hope. This question to take the side of the poor, I have said this before, the sentence again is new. The idea is very old. You can read, for example, Karl Barth. In the 30s, before liberation theology, he has written literally this. According to the Bible, God takes always the side of the poor, the least, the lowly people. Well, you know, for him it was not necessary to read liberation theologians to affirm this, because this is in the Bible, this. It is in our message, and in our book. And decide to, because to give reasons of hope is not only to say this through words, but through gestures, actions, commitments. And my second point in the conclusion is this. Liberation theology, as many other theologies, is trying to take seriously also the historical aspects of Christian life, normally the consequence of the biblical message. When I say this, I try to say, if we believe and we affirm the coming of the kingdom, we are speaking about history, coming to history. The full realization of the kingdom is not in history, but must be present. Maybe you know one poem coming from a French poet. He has written one poem. He called this Our Father. And he was not a Christian. And he says it is probably the Our Father of many Christians. And the beginning is this. Father, who are in heaven, stay there. Because it is to be atheist. Stay there. Not come here. No, I have my life, my categories, my interest, my tastes. Stay there. This is better. It's to be atheist. For this person, non-Christian, I think it's very interesting. This is the intuition is very clear. We affirm in practice, not only in words, we affirm in practice this God must be far from history. We don't believe in the God of Jesus Christ. And it means today to accept the gift of the kingdom. Sometimes we say, I understand, but it's not strictly speaking right. We must construct the kingdom. Strictly speaking, it's not true, because the kingdom is a gift. The gift, we must accept the gift. We can build a just and human society. We can build a church with fraternity and friendship, good. But the kingdom we must accept. And accept the kingdom is to accept as historical persons in history. Changing, transforming history in something better. Well, it is the meaning of this effort, basically. The meaning of this effort, this theology. But to to say the last word, theology is relevant, certainly. With some friends during the lunch, I have recalled a point, I think classic but very important. Theology is located between the gift of the love of God, kingdom, biblical message, and the task to announce the gospel. It is the place of theology. Between these two main aspects of Christian life is to accept the gift of the love, the gratuitous love of God in our lives, and to announce this. In the middle, we have theology. Starting from spirituality, to accept the gift of God is spirituality, is to be Christian, to be a disciple of Jesus, and to announce the gospel, because this gift is not for us. And to keep this for us, it's a gift to announce, to communicate this gift through our actions, through our words also, but our commitments. It is the place of theology. When I say it is an effort to take for real, seriously, poverty, complex sense, poverty is a challenge to face, it is the point. This theology, with many steps, probably with many lacunes and absence, is trying to take seriously this challenge. It's not more important than, maybe today, a little more, but than the challenge of modernity is different. We are in front today to, I think, to three big challenges. Modernity or post-modernity. I don't like very much the expression post-modernity. I understand the meaning. I am against post, you know. Something is not good for me, but my battle is not with words. It is a real challenge today. Poverty is another. Another a challenge is the religious pluralism today. How to understand the religious pluralism? How is the salvific status of Christianity? And very concretely, of Jesus. Well, it's another big challenge. And always because a challenge to face, to my practice, to my acceptance of the gift of God, and my way to announce the gospel. Theology, again, is in the middle, trying to establish link between this spirituality and evangelization to announce the gospel. Well, it is the effort of this theology. There are many other efforts in this way, but concretely in this case, they were, I think, the basic points. Well, thank you for your attention.